I'm gonna do it.
It's time for Talking Music on KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. I'm Taya J. I'm joined today by Raylan Baxter, here to talk about his fourth album, If I Were a Butterfly. Raylan Baxter, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Where are you talking to us from today?
I'm talking to you all from Goodlettsville, Tennessee. I just left my mother's house, and I'm driving down the road in my truck on the way to my friend's studio.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to be on the drive with you.
Thank you for not making it so lonely.
My pleasure. Well, I'm happy you mentioned lonely, because there's a lot of things I want to talk about in terms of your album, If I Were a Butterfly. But one of the things I really want to talk about is solitude. You spent over a year working on this album, and you spent a lot of that year alone. Will you talk to me about that process and about your relationship to being alone?
I think writing music, for me, I can only speak from my own experience, but maybe other people could chime in. Writing music, writing songs is a solo process, and it started in October of 2019 in my basement in Nashville. At the time, I was living in Nashville, and I just spent 3 months by myself compiling a bunch of notes, voice memos that I'd put up together, you know, just picking up my phone and humming something into it, and then turning those into songs. And at the end of that 3 months, he got me in the middle of January 2020, and I moved up to Franklin, Kentucky, which is just 1 hour north of Nashville, to a friend's studio called Thunder Sound. And I posted up, and I brought my friends with me, and we spent 2 months together recording 30 songs. Then the whole world got to being alone. On March 13th, when the quarantine was issued, we were out of the studio. We were done with that portion of the recording, and I had made plans to finish the record at the end of March, but that changed because of the COVID quarantine. And so I putzed around for a couple months in an empty house in Goodlettsville, where my mother now lives, and we were all going through it. And then my father passed in the end of May, and I kind of, at that point, I was making a decision to kind of reassess the album and what it was meaning on a humanitarian level and on a personal level. And so I packed up my things, and I drove out to California, and I met back up with one of the co-producers, Tim O'Sullivan, in Los Angeles, and we worked for 2 weeks, and then I figured it was time to head back. And by the time I had made my way back to Tennessee, I realized I needed to go back up to Kentucky to finish this album. And that's when the solitude began, the true solitude, the winter time. And I love it. I love being by myself. It's a skill set to be alone and to dig through the tunnels of my mind and feeling and being able to emote and observing nature, observing my patterns on a day-to-day level and somehow turning it into music, music that should sculpt how I want people to hear how I am. And it wasn't easy, definitely like hung on by a thread, but I was a music man, making music, you know, like that's what I thought I should be doing. And the music in the record sounds like me during that time. It sounds like me now, you know, it is the music the way I am. Freaky Ta from The Lost Boys.
I love that.
Make music the way I am, my man. Really, my friend Billy, who built the studio, his whole mission with that place was to provide a sanctuary for artists to explore themselves and make music. And so that's what I did. And I exercised that ventricle. And I think that being alone is an amazing thing. Like, it's challenging. There's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to call. There were hawks flying over. There were deer. There were coyotes. There were spooky owls at night, you know, and I was loving it. I was in hog heaven.
I love it. And what a rare thing, really, like you say, to have that amount of time where there's no agenda. And I love the way you describe solitude as a skill set, because I think it absolutely is. And I think there's we as a culture have a lot of fear of solitude or silence or space or isolation or loneliness or whatever you want to call it. And I couldn't agree more. I do think it's a skill set. I'm curious if there were times that you just felt overwhelmed by the work, like were you able to sort of separate or get perspective on what it was you were trying to create, or were you just in it?
I was just in it. And I think I lost perspective multiple times. I mean, there's probably 18 different versions of every song that you hear on the record. There's long outros and long intros of each song that we had to cut off. There's probably better versions in some people's minds than the ones that are on the record. I lost perspective big time, I lost perspective of what? Other people's opinions of the music, which really, you know, the people that I respect, I care dearly about their opinions, and I crafted the record mixed on their opinions and my opinions. And at the end of the day, it's my name on the record. Therefore, I have to trust myself, and just getting lost in the whole mix of it was the artist, it was the creative process, and it took years off my life, and I lost relationships through this record, you know. I've had to make amends from kind of being super stubborn with the record, and yeah, I lost perspective, and through the losing perspective, I gained perspective as well. I mean, it's all, no matter what, it's all the same to me.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you can reflect on that. And I think, you know, I say this all the time, but I feel like the process is just as important as the final product, right? For you as an artist to like...
The memories, the moments. Like when I made that Mac Miller EP, I made it in LA with some friends of mine, and one of my most beautiful friends, his name's Aaron Embry. He's the one playing most of the piano on that Mac Miller EP. And he was like, he's the one that pointed it out to me. It's not about the final product. For me, or for him, it's about the memory. It's about making the memory in the studio, and that's what it's all about. And once you get the record done, then it's about whatever it is about to other people. But I have the memory of making this, and it's a thick, stout, long memory of making this record and what happened to the world during this process for me, what happened to my family during this process, and how I grew out of a box and into a bigger one, I guess.
With that in mind, can we take a listen to something off the record? What should we hear first?
Well, let's see. I think that we should listen to, If I Were a Butterfly, track one.
Well, we can be a heart, and we can be.
Heard If I Were a Butterfly, the title track off of Raylan Baxter's newest album. Raylan joining me today on Talkin' Music. It seems to me like, as an artist, you're kind of striking a balance between playfulness and seriousness. Do you feel like that's true?
Yeah, I do. That's life. It's like, at the end of the day, like the album ends, the day ends, the experience ends, and then you have to, one album ends, you start another one. Or after a song ends, you go find another one to listen to. And it's like, in the moment, there's really serious situations that are happening within music or life. But at the end of the day, it's just like, I didn't think it was that funny at the time, but I laugh it off now, or I laughed it off then, and it was actually kind of a major stepping stone in my life or one's life. It's a balance. It is a total balance. There's the yin and the yang. There's the black and the white. There's the good and the bad. There's a brick on top of brick on top of brick. A church is built, or a strong house is built. You know, you can't build on sand necessarily without a, you know what I'm getting at? You can't overload one side, or else nature and the universe will correct the imbalance for you.
Yeah, and balance is definitely a work in progress. It's not like you're always balanced, or once you find it, you keep it necessarily either. I feel like you learn something new every time. One of the things that I think I hear about your most recent album the most is that it's full of emotions, which to me is almost like, welcome to the human experience. But I'm wondering if you'll sort of speak more to your intention for the album.
My intention was to make a sonic painting of my entire life. And like, every day I am finding the connection between anything and everything. And I start with like simple thing, like how our lungs work, how they look, and our relationship with the trees, okay? And the balance between carbon dioxide and oxygen, am I right with the elements there? And so that times a trillion bazillion, then the universe and the eyes and a shooting star and inspiration, a rotating wheel and life, a pizza pie and balance, three wheels of a tripod and samurai, yoga and the comedian that balances dishes on a stick. It's almost a handicap how often I'm wanting this to happen, or I'm seeing this happening, and also like the dynamics of a human being and how many colors we have in our spectrum and the thoughts that we have in a day. And maybe one of my intentions was to remind myself that there is a beautiful world around us, that there's a rainbow in every corner of the room, whether you can see it or not. Take a hanging crystal from a fishing line and hang it by a window, then you see a whole other side of light. And so maybe the LP and the needle on the vinyl player is the crystal into just my experience with life. And that could resonate with millions of people. I think that we all are having similar thoughts at any point in the day. But like, you know, I don't know, maybe I spread my butter in my waffle a little bit differently than you do, but we still appreciate the waffle. I never used that one before, but you know what I mean. I just drove past a waffle shop, so I don't know. I don't know. It's like I can't even explain my intention. I have no idea, but it's similar to a non-evil person's intention when they get out of bed every day and like want to pet their dog. You know what I mean?
And I think drawing connections is crucial in the divisiveness of our current state too.
Yeah. And taking credit and not blaming a bunch of other things for where we are. The low hanging fruit is blame a president, or blame your community leader, or salute your community leader, or like salute yourself and blame yourself. I don't know. It's like some days it's so easy to be a human being, and I'm so lucky to be a human being and be able to kick rocks and smoke cigarettes and drive a truck and buy a lotto ticket and laugh and cry and talk to my dad from the spiritual side of existence. And it's all like this beautiful journey of figuring out why I am waking up today to do whatever it is I'm doing, and being content with it. And if I'm not content with it, knowing why I'm not content with it, there's usually a solution within my own ability to find a harmony.
Yeah. And if you're not content with it, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. If you're not content with it, being curious about it and seeing what comes of that curiosity.
Yeah, and not giving up. I think being curious and confused at the same time, and like sand kind of sifting through the hole in the funnel, you know, it's sand that sifts through one realization into a larger realization, into a bigger piece of a puzzle, into ultimately, I don't know, falling back on some power that is unimaginable and indescribable to trust and to be led by.
And I guess within all of that is listening, right? And I heard you once say this beautiful thing that your dad taught you how to listen. Will you say a little more about that?
Yeah, I like listening to your gut instinct or listening to your band play, listening for opportunities to speak, and listening for opportunities to say nothing or opportunities to play a note versus not play a note, and what to say, how many words to use to say what you want to say, or how many notes to play what you want to play / say what you want to say. I like meditating, you know, if sometimes I was just like, either the answers just appear when I slow down and listen. And when I request to listen as well, when I request to have something to listen to, sometimes I'll meditate and there'll be a hand on my shoulder that just gives me the answer or how I should go about this unresolved issue in my life, or how am I going to go about this next journey? And I feel like the answers are always there, whether you listen from the gut or the ears and the mind, feeling the vibration of your car when you're driving it, noticing if something's off. On some levels, the record recorded itself. When I was trying to force something, I realized way later on in the process that I was forcing it, that I didn't have to conjure the idea that it was actually there. I just needed to maybe play the song again, and like the birds would tap on the window or the bullfrogs would croak all in unison in the pond next to the studio, or the air conditioning unit would click on right at the downbeat of where, oh, that's where an organ needs to go. And that was really amazing. Like, it brought me to tears multiple times, just being like, oh my goodness, this is a beautiful thing that's happening.
That's such a beautiful visual. You can definitely see the sonic painting when you describe it like that.
Yeah.
Reland, I'm going to have you take us out on one last song. What should we hear to close out the show?
Oh, we should hear Thunder Sound in its entirety, with the piano outro as well.
The door. I love the sound. I love the feeling of wonder, the feeling of thunder. I love the feeling of thunder. The more I get to thinking what it all means. I love the sound. I love the feeling of wonder. I love the feeling of thunder. Myself, but when I breathe the heavy air, you come around, I keep them all here, and thunder sound, once upon
Other side.